At this time, we will go to the reports and start with the regional council reports, starting with Region 1. Is the representative on for Region 1?
Hey, Tim.
Remember to unmute yourself.
Yeah. I see Tim's here.
Sam Slagle's here from Region 1. I'm not sure that we have anything to report. I'm not sure if Tim can unmute himself, but I don't think we have anything.
It's your report from your last meeting. I think Tim sent it in already. Tim? I see him muting and unmuting.
Okay, we'll come back to Region 1. Region 2? Anyone representing Region 2?
Mary Nell, are you there? I know she's on the... Here she is.
Can you hear me? Hello?
We can.
Yes, okay. We can.
Hey, I'm Mary Nell Osborne. I'm with Region 2. We have had lots of successes in our region, and I want to thank the commissioner for her song and for her words. That's the kind of leadership that we need as leaders, and there's certainly been a lot of great leadership coming out of the mental health services. So needless to say, telehealth has been challenging, as we are experiencing right this minute, but it's also afforded us a lot of learning opportunities. I'm hearing from peer support groups around the region about huge increases in participation in phone groups and conference calls, individual outreach. People are reporting that it's affording them the opportunity to feel connected when before maybe they had physical challenges of coming face to face with providers, coming to clinics, riding transportation. There are concerns and challenges in rural communities with connectivity and services, people having to drive into hotspots, that kind of thing. But it really has been something to be a part of in making the switch to technology, going from 99% face-to-face services down to 10% and doing it in a snap of a finger. So I want to commend everybody who's done that in their places of business. It's been a wild ride, but I'm sure that everybody would join me in saying it's been an honor to be a part of. This committee completed 4 recommendations for the needs assessment, no legislative recommendations. I think there were several announcements that were submitted in our report. I think, Kirby, I can leave that to be printed out. I don't need to go through those, do I?
For what you sent to me?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the needs assessment?
Well, the needs assessment and then announcements in this report that I sent out already.
Yeah, you can go ahead and share them. You can share them.
Okay. Everybody is, let's see, Tennessee NADD conference on August 20th is going to be virtual. NAMI locally just committed a virtual walk. It was an interesting thing. You know, local health departments, we want to take a moment and recognize and remember them in the region across the state during the pandemic for their leadership in providing daily information, testing, masks, and best practices. The mental health month of May, I think it couldn't have been more timely. And we have found ways to celebrate mental health and raise awareness about mental health throughout the month, including in Knoxville, the bridge turning green. A band in Chattanooga released a single in support of the Mental Health Association of East Tennessee. They experienced a loss from one of their musicians. Again, I said peer support centers in the region of the state are providing essential services, and they're becoming extensions, if you will, of the medical providers who are reaching out to them to say, can you be of support? Can you call this person? As I said, there's lots of things that we are learning through using technology more effectively and efficiently that we want to recommend that the state continue. And, you know, there's certain things that we probably don't need to go back to. So the new, the future, not the norm. The Mental Health Association of East Tennessee Call Center experienced an increase in call volume. And the call center staff are superheroes. The Tennessee Department of Mental Health is recognizing heroes, and the call center staff have received that very worthy recognition. We do have an announcement. Acadia and Covenant Health have formed a joint venture in Knoxville on a new 90-bed psychiatric hospital. The hospital is going to include comprehensive inpatient psychiatric services, as well as outpatient for seniors, adults, and children, and hopefully fill in some of the gaps that we've been bringing to light for many years. Additional services to be provided on campus will be NIOP, services for neuromodulation, and MAT, medication-assisted treatment for substance abuse disorder. It's going to be on Weisgarber near the main post office in Knoxville. We continue to highlight challenges, the challenges of mental health services in jails, incarceration, the lack of residential facilities for level two and three levels of residential homes for adolescents, limited number of treatment options for the uninsured in need of detox and substance abuse. Again, ongoing, the rate of opioid abuse and overdoses in our community, and I'm not sure that we are going to understand the impact of COVID on all of those communities. And I think a new one that we're all going to be looking at is access to technology in our rural communities, getting folks the ability to connect with us, connectivity. Our next meeting is August 12th. I don't know if that will be virtual or live, face-to-face. We will probably determine that in the next month. Region 2 remains active and involved. I'm proud to be a part of it and really proud to be a part of services being provided in the state. We are currently updating our member list and applications from our membership body, making sure that everybody is accounted for. We are reaching out to more consumers to participate in leadership on this committee, and we certainly look forward to supporting the commissioner and being a voice for this region. That's all.
This is Tim with Region 1.
Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I was computer trouble. Region 1 met on May the 12th. We had report. It was via video conference call. We did have reports from NAMI. Jack Stewart reported on the virtual walk on May 30th. Also reported NAMI Tennessee as live Facebook event every Monday. MCOs were present. They reported on possible changes with TennCare to support telehealth as an ongoing option for care. Tennessee Commission on Children and Youth, Jill Stout, representative, was there, reported on several WebEx events. One occurred on May the 11th on the psychological effect of social distancing and quarantine on children and youth. Had over 1,000 registered in 16 states and 9 countries. Tennessee will be, the commission will be hosting more WebEx events on topics such as ethics, trauma, and domestic violence. Jack Stewart also presented on TSPN, regional meetings being held via Zoom, and the state retreat being postponed. Kirby, Kurt, and Avis was on the call. Kirby reported on the legislative report for the department and also department updates. The department also thanked people on the call for Region 1 work via telehealth to keep engagement with consumers and stakeholders during COVID-19. The chair reported also on the progress underway to review and update current membership roster and update membership applications. The adult and CNY subcommittee chairs will be assisting in the effort. Our next meeting is August the 4th, and it's still undetermined if that will be via conference or in person. And that's all for Region 1.
Region
3. Hi, it's Deanna King with Region 3. We met on April 30 by conference call, and our meeting was shorter, but we were able to have a lot more participation because we were able to engage a lot more of our region since we were on conference call. And so when we do start meeting face-to-face again, we are going to try to find ways to continue to incorporate that. We discussed the needs assessments. We also discussed how COVID was impacting our community. The legislative committee also discussed their progress, and we did a brief check-in with all of our participants. Our next meeting will be July 16th. That's all. Thank you.
Hey, this is Robin Nobling, NAMI Davidson County Region 4 Chair. And we last met via conference call on May 6th, had about 20 people, I believe, in attendance. I want to thank those people that were able to join us at that time. One of the things that we made a point to cover in that meeting was just checking in with everybody on the call. You know, we know this is impacting all of the people that we serve, and we're definitely hearing from them in many ways across many channels, but we wanted to check in on our providers, our folks that were there. So a part of our meeting was absolutely dedicated to the folks that are providing the services, because I think it's so important that, you know, we stress self-care. As a NAMI person, that's a big thing for us, and we think it's important to keep all of us going. I wanted to give a special shout-out to Barbara Quinn of Park Center for her service. Barbara's retiring, and she has meant a lot to Region 4 and to Middle Tennessee in all that she has done through Park Center, and so we wanted to shout-out special recognition to Barbara. Another thing that I wanted to recognize was things that we were hearing from our service providers were what they were doing to make sure that their folks were getting meds, were getting taken care of. We heard that care managers were making personal deliveries to doors to make sure people had meds. So everybody was coming together, you know, during this time with COVID. Of course, in Middle Tennessee, and especially in Region 4, take away from Cookeville because they had it too. But, you know, folks, we had tornadoes, then COVID, and now the financial crisis, which is really hitting a lot of folks hard. So I wanted to reach out and say thank you to the folks that participated in the NAMI Greater Nashville Walk that occurred between March 30th and April 30th. It was amazing to see people like Vanderbilt in the middle of the COVID still coming out with a goal of $2,000 and exceeding it by $3,000. To the folks at MTMHI, the nurses at MTMHI that made an amazing video with their masks on, and all of this for mental health awareness. It was just amazing. We had downwardly revised our goal to $35,000, but turned around and made $70,000 on that walk because people pitched in. So I wanted to also make sure that we recognize the efforts that went into our legislative proposal. Our chair, Elliot Tinsley, led Susan Mee, Angie Thompson, myself, Lynn Fritz, Mackenzie Mellinger, and Jasmine Zhu in developing the proposals for legislative submission. Hang on one second. I'm going to bring those up. And so things that we were looking at were reducing stigma through changing the department name. That was one. Another one was a look at involuntary commitment and AND treatment. And the third one was looking at what to do with the workforce shortage. We also participated in the needs assessment, and Region 4 was looking to decrease the amount of time to 24 hours between the first signed certificate of need to placement in an acute patient setting. They also looked at increasing access to outpatient counseling and psychiatric appointments to prevent the development of a mental health crisis as a parity issue, increasing the number of Medicaid-assisted treatment providers throughout the state, and increasing the number of recovering housing and independent living. So again, many thanks to the folks that participated there. Our next meeting is going to be August 5th, and we have not determined at this time if that will be in person or by phone, but many, many thanks to all our folks that keep services going through telehealth and in person through the crisis stabilization units and emergency rooms. Thank you, guys.
Good morning. This is Debbie from Region 5 in Buffalo Valley. You know, as I sit here and I listen to all the other reports, it's along the same lines. We did it through telehealth. And we reviewed the needs assessments that we submitted. We did not submit any legislative proposals. Most of our meeting was dedicated to how the COVID-19 had impacted the organization, their staff, and the clients that they served. A lot of the agencies shared that they were working from home. We talked about how the first few weeks of this was really tough in trying to get everything put into place, the technology for those that needed it. Someone already mentioned the fact that in rural Tennessee, just being able to sometimes get internet to work properly. You know, most of us know here in Nashville, sometimes it doesn't work properly. But that... we had received a lot of great support from the department, and I can definitely attest to that, as we had right at the very beginning had two staff members test positive, and the department was right there. They had my back. They helped me get what I needed. So kudos to the department and thanks. And to the department, I love the word, the mustard banner. That whole part of your website has been a great help, and others in Region 5 had referenced the positivity and having that information. All organizations had definitely seen an increase in telehealth services. What a lot of the agencies saw was the call volume was down, but those entering our door, the acuity was higher. We're interested, Commissioner, in seeing what is going to go forward with regard to telehealth. The one thing that I would like to add to your conversation list, if I may, Commissioner, and that is to continue to work with the DEA on the relaxation of having to have a nurse practitioner present when dealing with MAC clients. Our next, I don't know if my thing tells me when our next meeting is. August the 6th is our next meeting. That's all I have.
Debbie, a couple things I'll say. Thank you for your kind words. Everyone on this call knows that Deputy Commissioner Matt Yancey's leadership on these calls every week, starting with daily calls with each of you, and many of your colleagues as COVID-19 hit, was a godsend. And I can't say enough about Matt and his leadership, assisting him were our assistant commissioners, Tarn Sloss, Rob Cotterman, Jessica Ivey, just incredible leadership there. And daily Q&As that went up and still go up on our web address. So I appreciate that. Matthew Perriott, who is our communications director, has done yeoman's work on that as well. So thanks for that. on the DEA issue, as you know, Debbie, I did a direct call with your DEA person, and
I just need you to keep.
I think prayers for a change of heart for him would be awesome. And I will continue to lobby and advocate for that. And if there's any other different way you think I can, I gave it my all.
I know you did, Commissioner.
I know you know. I'm just saying, I don't know what else to do with him.
Do you know when the DEA is going to take back that extension?
No. Again, we're advocating to federal government. I mean, that will come out if you were called. A lot of what he said was, well, the federal government is directing this, and the federal government is directing that. So what I've done is I've made my voice heard to the assistant secretary because she is part of the federal government, and we'll continue to do that, Debbie. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, and thanks for your voice.
Thank you, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Good morning. I'm Richard Barber with Region 6. Region 6 met April the 14th. We met via WebEx. Thanks, Kirby, for setting that up. We had 14 members on the call. Kirby gave the department a report. We had the reports from the Children's Committee and the Legislative Committee. Then there was discussion around our Region 6 needs assessment, where we looked at things like child-friendly EDs, handle with care programs, and then looked at how meth has started to spike again. And then we wrapped up with, it seems like the calls we took from the auditors during the Planning and Policy Council audit were about consumer participation. So we're threw some ideas out about getting more consumers involved, and then wrapped up the meeting with how the COVID coronavirus was affecting our programs. We had shared ideas about what we could do. And then our next meeting scheduled for July 14th, not sure yet if it'll be another teleconference or whether we will meet in person. And in closing, I just want to co-sign what Debbie said about the department, the support they've been, and also to each of you, send my best to each of you. You know, 30 years doing this, these have never been through anything like this. And I know I had the opportunity to reach out to many of you, get some input from you, and that was valued. And I think the relationships over the years is one of the things that helped carry our program, our region, to where we are now. And I'm appreciative of that. And that's all we got from Region 6. Thank you.
Hey, Albert.
Yes.
I've been called. There's going to be a call with Lieutenant Governor McNally that I need to participate in at 11. So I just want to thank everybody. I'm sorry I can't stay on the rest of this, but I sure have enjoyed hearing and listening, and I'll stay on until they call me around 11, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner, for joining us as you do every month. We really appreciate, I mean, every quarter, we really appreciate you.
Absolutely appreciate y'all.
Okay. Hey, can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, great. This is Bartholomew Allen, Region 7 Chair. We met on Tuesday, April 28th at 11:30 via WebEx. Kirby helped set that up. We opened up with welcome and introductions. We had a great turnout. We also approved the minutes and went over a couple of documents. Kirby was on the phone along with Avis and Assistant Commissioner Kirk. We had an agency presentation by Butch Odom from the Church Health Center. For those of you who are not aware, Church Health Center, along with several other agencies, have been leaders in helping test and inform the community about COVID-19 during this pandemic. Butch and his team presented the ins and outs, some of the frequently asked questions about COVID-19 and how it is impacting Shelby County. They provided several details as to where individuals can get tested, several details as to individuals who have lost their jobs, where they can get food and assistance. And they've worked very closely with the health department here in Shelby County to help with volunteers to do contact tracing and to provide additional resources for those individuals. Our vice chair, Ms. Mary Neal, went over our needs assessments, the ones that we submitted to the committee. And we opened the floor up at that time just for a general chat for any individuals or any agencies that wanted to talk about how COVID was actually affecting them and their members. Some things that we did find out, as was stated earlier, technology is definitely the paradigm shift that we're finding that is probably much needed across the board for mental health and substance abuse services. I can only imagine that moving forward, so agencies will be trying to figure out how to provide the best services for our members in this field. We concluded at 1:30, and our next meeting is set for July 28th, 11:30. We're not exactly sure how we will be participating in this meeting. At the moment, we're assuming we will still be doing a WebEx-type form. And that was it.
Hi, good morning. This is Ginger Nasser reporting from the Adult Committee. We had our phone meeting on April 15th, and at that meeting, Melissa Sparks introduced Jennifer Armstrong as the new director of the Office of Crisis and Suicide Prevention Services, and both the ladies shared updates from that division and some changes that crisis services have made to address the pandemic. Like other committees, the rest of the time was spent on being able to share what the agencies have done in response to the pandemic, and we shared concerns, successes, and our hopes for changes. Thank you.
Okay. Children's Committee.
Hello there. This is Ricky. At our last Children's Committee, we discussed with the department staff some of the crisis services and the hospitalization issues related to children and how COVID had affected these needs. We discussed the fact that crisis and ER utilization as the department staff have already stated, acuity was up for children. It was really helpful to have the department there, and after looking at the notes that were sent out and the PowerPoint that's being presented today, I feel like you're probably going to hear a lot of what we discussed. And thank you to Melissa Sparks and Kurt for being on the call and guiding some of that conversation. The last thing we talked about and having just a peer discussion about what we've been doing, what's been helpful, what's been challenging related to COVID and children's services. Across the board, it was shared that the telehealth opportunities that have been provided to families have been incredibly encouraging opportunity in a format that we hope continues because of the conveniences it's provided to families and the fact that we don't know, you know, how long we'll continue to face the risk of COVID. So we were all sharing how grateful we were, and I just want to express my appreciation to the department and to Commissioner for, as you stated, your support and advocacy for telehealth. It's greatly appreciated and greatly needed. So our new vice chair, we introduced Lindsay Blevins, and I just want to say a quick thank you to Lindsay for taking on that role and working with me. I'm really looking forward to that. And that's it for our Children's Committee.
Consumer Advisory Board.
Consumer Advisory Board. Hi there. Good morning, everyone. I'm Dina Savinos. I'm the statewide peer wellness coach and trainer for My Health, My Choice, My Life, and CAB Chair. It's good to be here with you all for my first meeting today. The Consumer Advisory Board meets the first Friday of every month, and we'd like to report that we heard presentations from the following resource speakers: Hillary Bolter of Bolter Consulting on using motivational interviewing for wellness, Robin Priest of Robin Priest Live Your Truth, Polly Jessen, Recovery Navigator for the Recovery Navigator Program. We were inspired by recovery stories from the following: Chris McNally, Coordinator for Open Arms Peer Support Center, Cheryl Powell, Veteran, and Polly Jessen, Recovery Navigator, all CPRSs. They shared their personal uplifting stories of recovery with us. We added a new discussion to the regular agenda on wellness in April, where we share what we're currently doing for self-care. Our keynote speaker has been confirmed for the 10th Annual Certified Peer Recovery Specialist Conference, Brad Smith, journalist for the Tennessean and former Lifeline team member. The date has been changed from October 4th and 5th to October 9th, and we're now going virtual. Details about the exact schedule and which platform we'll be using are still being determined. We moved our meetings from a phone conference format to WebEx on June the 5th. This was a big jump for us, and we would like to thank Benita Hayes of the Office of Children, Young Adults, and Families for her technical assistance. And finally, we have four membership openings, one in Region 1, one in Region 2, one in Region 4, and one in Region 6. If you are interested in more information about the CAB, please feel free to contact me, Dina Savinos, at csavinos, that's csavvenas, at tamho.org, Kathy Haley, Lisa Reagan, or Michelle Webster. Our next meeting is July 10th from 9 to 11 Central Time, and that is all we have. Thank you so much.
Planning and Budget Committee.
Good morning, Albert. I hope you all are doing well.
Hey, good morning.
From the Planning and Budget Committee, we want to give a huge shout out and thanks to all of the seven regions, the regional councils and their volunteers, as well as the standing committees of the Planning Council. Y'all did a fantastic job with the needs assessment process. We also need to give a huge shout out to the department's planning staff who did a good job shepherding all that process and getting all the results in and tabulated. Of course, the compilation of all the region's identified needs were reviewed by the committee and forwarded to the commissioner. We did ask that there be a special notation on the final report that was sent to the commissioner, also noting any prior years in which a particular needs assessment recommendation had been made. So if something was recommended this year, if it was also recommended last year and the year before, that's the notation that we asked that be also added to the report sent to the commissioner. Lastly, the department staff, of course, then did forward it, forward the results to the planning councils across the state, and we trust that each of the chairs of the planning councils have forwarded the full report to each of their members for their review as well. Thank you, Albert.
All right. Thank you, Ben. I will be in Kim's absence giving the report for the executive committee. The executive committee met alongside with the legislative committee via WebEx on May the 7th, 2020 to review the fiscal year 2021 legislative proposals. A total of three proposals were submitted from Region 4 and 6. Of those three proposals, the legislative committee recommended one to move forward to Commissioner Williams for review. The executive committee approved this recommendation made by the legislative committee. A follow-up meeting will be scheduled in the near future to discuss the results of the recommended proposal. Debbie Hillen, Legislative Committee Chair, will now go into further detail concerning the three submitted proposals and the one proposal recommended to move forward in this process. Debbie?
Albert, I'll confess I'm trying to find them. If you can go on and let me find them on my computer, I'll come back.
I'll forward it to you, Debbie.
Minutes. Albert, I'm sorry. I was not paying attention to that.
No problem. No problem.
Let me see if I can get it real quick. I know one had to do with the a change in the name of the department. And I'm sorry, they've not hit. If you want to go to the next and then come back to me. Albert.
Okay.
Debbie, you're the last report before the presentation. I just forwarded it to you.
I just got it. Hang on one quick second. My bad. All right. The proposals was to reduce stigma through changing the department's name. The summary was to change the name of the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Use Services, taking the word abuse to the word use, and that it was thought that that would help to reduce stigma. The proposals that was requiring more information for future consideration had to do with involuntary commitments to the A&D. The summary of that legislative proposal was to provide an involuntary commitment to a residential A&D facility for a minimum of 5-day evaluation, with the option for the courts to order a further 30 days of treatment based on outcome evaluation. There was a lot discussed regarding the criteria and the qualifications and the guidelines, the civil rights, all of that. So what ended up after that discussion was that the committee decided that the proposal needed to be fleshed out more before taking it forward. So we're going to create a work study to look at that for next year. The other proposal dealt with workforce shortage survey. And the summary of that was to implement some additional survey questions to an existing healthcare professional license renewal surveys, spanning boards whose providers included behavioral health. Meaning, for example, as a LADAC, they would add a few extra questions to my renewal process. And part of that was, and after a lot of discussion, it was brought out that the Department of Mental Health does not license those of us who hold the license. That's done through the licensing boards through the Department of Health. So Zach said that he would recommend to the committee to compile a list of questions, and he would be glad to submit them to speak with his colleagues at the department and bring to the attention of the commissioner. So we did not go forward with that proposal. However, it was presented to the commissioner for consideration and to bring awareness to the issue. That was it, Albert.
Okay, thank you, Debbie.